take a second, and I hope you notice these beautiful flowers that are sitting down here this morning. That's thanks to Miss Linda Threlkill sitting right over there. Y'all remember to tell her to thank her for, she gets fresh flowers in here, does these arrangements for me. I don't have to worry about a thing, but she really does it. They are very beautiful. Wonderful job, Linda. Very pretty. There's one other announcement real quick before I don't know how I missed this. It was right in front of me, but from Autauga Pharmacy, I'm sorry, but I did want to make sure I read this to y'all. It says, this is from Miss Ruby Jo Caver. She says, I'm writing you today in the hopes that you will announce to your congregation that the Autauga Pharmacy has the Johnson & Johnson /Janssen COVID-19 vaccine in stock. If you are interested in getting a vaccination from Autauga Pharmacy, says we will be administering the vaccines on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for the next several weeks. Please call the pharmacy to schedule your appointment. If anybody's interested, I just wanted to make sure I put that out there so I didn't forget in case anybody wanted to do that. We are thankful this morning to be in the Lord's house. We truly are, and it comes from the past men and women who have served. May we never forget that our freedom is not free, that people have given their lives for that, that we can be in here this morning, that we are one nation, Leslie. We're under God. Think about how powerful that pledge of allegiance is. We have the greatest nation on earth, I feel like. And I'm thankful for that nation. I'm thankful that we can all be in here this morning and be worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus. This morning, though, I'm going to talk to you about four ways that Jesus sets us free. Are you interested? Jesus sets us free is what he does. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Hebrews 9 is what I want you to see. In Hebrews 9, you know, we're not exactly 100% sure who the author is right there. Some say Paul. I mean, we don't know, okay? They could say, well, it wasn't Paul. The writing was a little bit different. The problem is we don't know, but I want to point out something that jumped out at me so good, and it's 9. We're going to cover 9, 1 through 10, and then 11 through 14 is what we're going to cover right there. And I have one more scripture that I'm going to turn back to over in Matthew 27, but you don't have to flip there. It's just one verse I'm going to read to you. But today I want to talk to you about four ways that Jesus sets us free. Now let's open up together. And it says in 9:1 where it says, worship in the earthly tabernacle. Listen to God's word today. Listen very hard. And let's point out some things. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. And the tabernacle was set up. So in its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Verse 3 says, behind the second curtain was the room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense in it, and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now, is what the author's saying right there. So when everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year. Only once a year could you enter the most holy place and part of the tabernacle. So if you go back and look at I'd have to go back and pull it, but it was basically like a 15 by 30. And the second part was just a little bit about the same too, maybe about the same or a little bit bigger. So look at what he says right there. He says, But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that was only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, this morning, Lord, as we look at your word, God, Lord, thank you for setting us free. That, Father, you sent your son Jesus who died on the cross for us. His blood set us free. Lord, we're thankful, Father God, to be a nation under you, Lord. May we, as your people, never forget that, God, that we are one nation under you, Lord, that you are the rock. You are the number one priority. Lord, thank you for setting us free by sending your son, Jesus. Be with us, Father God, over these next few minutes as we look at your word, as we understand it as it comes alive. Lord, be with each and every person that's here this morning, that if somebody's feeling distant, Lord, may they draw ever so near at this time. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. Said the Holy 9 says right there, this is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. Well, the new order has come. We serve a risen Savior is what we do. Now, let's talk about that for a second. When you talk about the curtain that they're talking about in the temple, does everybody remember that? What does Matthew 27:51 tell us? Look at what it says, right? And you don't have to turn. I'm reading. It's just a couple of verses right there. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the Holy Spirit and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. My first point for today, how Jesus sets us free, we have freedom from bondage. We have freedom from being a slave is what we have. That God sent his one and only son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. That he did exactly that. Christ paid for us with his blood. Now, second point, look at 11 and 12 right there. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of the creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Point number two, Christ gave us freedom from guilt. Now, be honest with you. Do you remember getting into trouble a lot as a child? Yeah. One person. So the rest of the church is, all right, Leslie, you just close yours for a minute. You remember getting into trouble? You ever remember being mischievous? Does that ring a bell with any? Everybody's putting their heads down, so I might have some guilty people up in here. So you remember being mischievous, and you remember tearing around that guilt. When was it at a young age when you finally learned that from right, you start to learn right from wrong? You start to learn different things like that where you feel guilty, and maybe you went to your mama, and you're like, I lied, I ate the cookies, and I told you I did it, or, you know, whatever they could be. Daddy, I went out there and tipped the cow when it was asleep. I'm sorry. You know, I ran into him with your Kubota. There's different things that we see. I want to tell you a little story that I found about two little brothers, two little boys, and it We tend to overthink a lot of things as adults. Amen? That God's cleared us from this, but sometimes we'll hold on to it. We will. And it's freedom from guilt. We will. So there was two little boys, and they were brothers, and they were about 8 and 10 years old is what they were. And they were always getting into trouble. Always. It almost like if little Johnny had a little brother, it'd been worse than that. I mean, that's how bad these kids were. It says the parents were at their wits' end, and they didn't know what to do with their son's behavior is what the problem was. So the mother had heard that there was a pastor in town who knew how to handle work with kids who had a hard time with discipline problems. And she went to the husband and they talked about it, and they're like, he's like, I'm just tired. I've lost my religion. Whoopings ain't working. Ain't nothing working. These kids are just, they're always into trouble. We just need to get some help from them. So they agreed to go see the pastor. Pastor of the church was a really nice man, and he was new into town, and he said, oh, I'd love to meet them. I'm sure they're wonderful kids. And parents said, well, we'll just stick with that and see what you can come up with. So he said, my only requisition is I want to see them one at a time. I'd like to see the younger one first if he's 8. So they set up a meeting, and the little 8-year-old boy, he comes into the pastor's office, and he sits down in the chair. It's about like this. He sits right here, and he's talking to him, and he walks around. He introduces himself. Hey, how are you doing today? So glad you're here. We're just going to talk about disciplining him. And he said the pastor got up, and he had gotten his Bible, and he came around the front, and he set it down right there, and he said, now, son, where is God? It's the first question he asked him. A little boy just sat there in silence. Didn't say a word, looking straight ahead. And he said it more sterner the second time. Son, where is God? Little boy didn't move a muscle. And he backed up from him again, and he still had his Bible sitting there. And he didn't say a word. And he said, do you want a drink of water or anything? He said, no, sir. Okay. So this time, the third time he walked up to him, he got really close, and he says, I'm finna get my point across. And he says, where is God? Little boy jumped up and bolted out of the office and ran. Ran back home all the way as fast as he could. He ran straight home. He ran straight back into his room, and he ran straight into the closet and closed the door behind him. The 10-year-old his brother saw him and saw what was going on. He was like, oh, no. He went in the closet and he said, what happened? He said, what happened in there? He said, the younger brother said, we're in big trouble. God's missing and they think we took him. Freedom from guilt. We have it, ladies and gentlemen, with the price paid, what Jesus did for us on the cross. We know where God is. God's all around us. We ain't lost him. We haven't, Miss Kay. We know where he's at. We find him all the time. There's been this song that just came out by Larry Feder, and it's called Where I Find God. And he talks about it. It's a country song, but it's a Christian song in a sense too, because he talks about finding him on the water and finding him in the hayfield. And he talks about finding him all these other places when he just takes the time to be with him. God wants that from each and every one of us. Jesus wants to spend time with us, is what he wants to do. We can let go of whatever that guilt we may be holding on to as adults nowadays. As adults, we can let it go and know that Jesus paid the price for us. That is the most important message you could take home on this Memorial Day, that Christ paid the price. His blood is what bought us. Remember that. Look at what he says right there. Look at what he says in 9:13. Y'all gonna make me get excited today. Heart rate's up, Leslie. It says, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Look at what they had to go through. Look at what they had to do before they could present themselves. It says, point number three, we have freedom from rituals. We can spend time with Jesus whenever we want to. We can spend time with him in our cars, at home. Here today, there's no limit to it. It's wide open to us. You can spend time when you're on that lawnmower cutting that grass, or you're riding down that river, or you're trying to get that boat to crank that's got the dead batteries. Whatever happens, you've got time you can spend with Jesus. That's the most important thing to think about. That veil was torn from top to bottom. Have you ever torn a piece of paper and saw what happens? It just falls away. Now, could you imagine the faces of what they realized they had done when that veil was torn. God saves us. We have the freedom to serve a God who is alive, and well today, who works in every one of our lives. That is a freedom that Christ gives us. Look at what 9:14 says right there. It says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, talking about Jesus, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. There's things that we go back to from our point of, from things holding us back that they think hold us back as far as being held in bondage. There's things that we still feel guilty about from things long ago that Christ has already forgiven you. All you have to do is let it go too. Freedom from rituals that we don't have to step through these steps, that we have a direct line to Jesus Christ, direct access. All we have to do is fall on our knees and say, Lord, help me. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. Lord, what can I do? I want to be your vessel. Those are the things that we need to be going by. You think about that and how true that is. We have freedom to serve a God who is so alive today than he's ever been. Ever been. Think about those words. I'm going to finish it up right there with 9:15. For this reason, look at what it says. Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from sins committed under the first covenant. We are free. We are free. Jesus paid the price for us through what happened on the cross. There is no reason any of us today should be harboring any guilt, is what we should be. If you're feeling guilty of something you've done to Jesus, you need to confess that to Christ is what you need to do. You need to do that. You can come to the altar. You can get on your knees where you're at. You can bow your head and you can say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. I need to rid this of it. And as soon as you do it, you need to forget it because Christ already has. He's already forgotten it. It's gone. He tells us as far as the east is to the west, that sin is erased. Remember those things that you have no reason that we serve a Jesus who loves us that much and a God who loves us that much that he sent his one and only son to the cross for us. Amen, it is. Think about that today and what a mighty Savior we serve. Lord, let's close. Lord, Father God, we come before you today, Lord, just honored to be in your house, God. We're just thankful, Lord, to be able to love on you today. And Father God, we're thankful, Lord, for the ways you do set us free, for being a slave and from the rituals, God, and from the guilt, Lord, to serve a God who is alive now more than ever. Lord, may we never be found not looking for you, Father, in all that we say and that we do, Lord. You call us to be your examples. You call us to be your vessels, Father God, that we go out from this place, Lord, that we go out from your house, Lord, and people see you through us. Help us to be those people, God, that you so need us to be right now. Lord, the veil was torn, Father God. what the high priest and the priest thought way back then, Father God, that this was the ritual, this is what you had set up. And yes, Lord, but when Jesus came, it changed. Lord, we now have the freedom, Lord, to serve a God who is alive and who is right there in our lives, that wants to spend time with us, that wants to hear about our hurts, our things that are going on, everything in our life. He wants us, you want a relationship with us, Father. I pray, Lord, that there's nobody in this building today, Father God, who doubts their relationship with you. Lord, if that's it, during our closing, Lord, let them come forward, Father God. Help them to ungrasp the pew in front of them, Lord, and just come on down and tell us. Lord, may we pray with them. May we pray for them, Father God, whatever your case may be. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you give us in this life, Father God, for all the wonderful things you do for us, Lord. May we always be found looking up. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen.